Well, pull up a chair.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one.
Welcome back to another deep dive. And, welcome to another incredibly long dark night shift at the nursing desk here on the high security psychiatric ward.
I mean, it certainly feels that way lately, right?
It really does. Except the patients that are pacing the halls tonight, they aren't your regular folks. They are the supposed titans of the commercial real estate industry.
Right. Suppose being the operative word.
Exactly. So if you've ever been sitting at a closing table on like a multifamily property and suddenly the buyer just out of nowhere demands a $20,000 credit for, I don't know, parking lot striping.
Yeah, out of thin air.
Right. Just completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
If you've been there, you know exactly how brutal and insane this market can be. So tonight we are taking a very dry, very clinical look at the madness of the 2026 CRE industry.
Which is just riddled with cognitive decline right now.
It is. We're reviewing a severely agitated patient, basically, one that's suffering from what is being called acute zero-sum negotiation syndrome, specifically presenting with fixed pie obstruction, FPO.
Yeah, and the clinical notes we have for this deep dive are just, they're fascinating. We are pulling directly from the diagnostic files of Priyanshu Adithakar, or Pri, as he's known.
The only sane person left in the building.
Literally. I mean, Pri is an investment advisor, but he's essentially the chief of surgery right now. He's the only lead investigator left who hasn't completely succumbed to the industry's cognitive decline.
While the rest of the market is, out there polishing their fake pro formas.
Hallucinating.
Yeah, hallucinating infinite leverage. Pri's the guy actually performing the autopsies on these blown-up deals.
And Pri's boots-on-the-ground diagnosis of this delusion is just so precise. He notes in the patient's chart that this syndrome usually flares up under very specific environmental stress, distressed asset sales, 131 exchange deadlines.
Final hour contract disputes.
Exactly. And in these high-stress states, the patients hallucinate this fixed value pie. They literally believe that every single dollar they can surgically carve out of the seller is like a direct life-saving graft onto their own balance sheet.
Right, which Pri calls terminal value extraction, which just sounds fatal.
Because it usually is, I mean, for the deal, anyway.
Well, to really understand how this delusion takes hold, I think we need to just open Pri's chart and examine the specific vital signs of this market sickness, because he's identified five aggressive maneuvers that are currently, dictating the patient's erratic heart rate.
Let's get into the pathology of it. So Pri's diagnostic imaging starts with the setup phase. Pathologies one and two. And the first one is what he calls the anchoring infection.
The infection. I love how dark that is.
Well, it really acts like one because the very first number that gets injected into a negotiation, no matter how absurd it is, it acts as a psychological benchmark. It forces the entire circulatory system of the deal to just revolve around that infected figure.
Okay, I look at this like a parasite taking over a host brain. Isn't this just institutional amnesia? I mean, the patient literally forgets what the asset is actually worth because the infection forces them to only see the anchor.
Right. They stop negotiating on the fair market value of the building and they start negotiating against the anchor.
Like setting the thermostat in a room. If I walk in and crank the AC down to 50 degrees, you're going to freeze. And even if we fight and compromise at 60, I've still forced you into a freezing room.
That's a perfect way to look at it. The anchor creates a localized artificial reality, and this seepage of reality is amplified by the second pathology Pri observed, which is silent due diligence.
Okay, wait. Silent due diligence. Because inherently, due diligence is it's out in the open, right? You sign an NDA, you ask for the rent rolls, you get the environmental reports. How is that silent?
Because, well, the most valuable leverage doesn't come from the official data room. It comes from the shadows. In this zero-sum sickness, leverage is the only currency. So these patients are secretly uncovering the seller's personal financial fractures before they even make the first incision.
Like what? What are they looking for?
Debt maturity is a huge one. They pull public records. If they see the seller took out a 5-year bridge loan back in 2021,
Oh, wow. So that balloon payment is due right now.
exactly right now. So the buyer absorbs this asymmetric information and they weaponize the initial anchor. They know the seller doesn't have the luxury of walking away because the bank is practically at their door.
They're negotiating on the timeline of the seller's financial ruin.
Precisely. Which brings us to the attack phase, pathologies three, four, and five. Once they have that anchor and that shadow leverage, they start manipulating time. Pring calls this deadline ischemia.
Ischemia. That's when oxygen gets restricted to the brain, right?
Yes. And in a commercial real estate deal, time is the oxygen.
Right. So let's define some terms here for you, the listener, because a lot of this pressure revolves around the 1031 exchange.
Yeah, that's a brutal mechanism.
It is. So a 1031 exchange is this IRS code that lets an investor defer capital gains taxes when they sell a property, but only if they reinvest it into a new one.
Yeah.
But the timeline is just ruthless.
You have exactly 45 days to identify a replacement and 180 days to close.
And if you miss it by a minute, the IRS hits you with a massive tax bill. So the buyer knows this. They know the seller's tax oxygen is running out.
And they squeeze the room. They fake artificial expirations. They'll say, you know, my board of directors needs a yes by 5:00 p.m. Friday, or we're pulling the capital.
It's just a take it or leave it spasm.
And neurologically, the victim's prefrontal cortex just starts shutting down. They interpret the deadline as a literal physical threat. They drop their spreadsheets and just concede just to make the threat stop.
And if that doesn't break them, the buyer moves to pathology four, the strategic flinch.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, reading Pree's notes on this, I was a little skeptical.
Really? Why skeptical?
Because it just sounds so, I don't know, theatrical. Like the flinch is this engineered physical or verbal signal of shock. The seller gives a counteroffer and the buyer literally gasps. They drop their pen. You've got to be joking.
Right.
Does that actually work on seasoned CRE professionals?
Yeah.
If someone gasped at my pricing, I feel like I'd just roll my eyes.
Well, consciously, maybe you roll your eyes, but subconsciously, it weaponizes our deepest evolutionary empathy. We are social creatures. When we see someone physically recoil from us, our immediate instinct is to smooth over the friction, to apologize.
Wow. So it's literally weaponized empathy.
Yes. The buyer skips the math and attacks the seller's confidence directly. The seller gets uncomfortable and just, you know, offers an unprompted concession before they even draft a counterproposal.
Okay, so they've anchored the price to the floor, they've found the shadow leverage, they've choked out the clock, and they've flinched away the counteroffers. We are at the finish line. Which brings us to the final, most brutal symptom Prima identifies, the nibble hematoma.
The nibble. Yeah, this happens during the absolute psychological exhaustion of the closing phase.
Let's really look at the math on this because it's so dark. The seller is completely depleted. They've spent, what, $100,000 on legal fees?
Easily.
They've done 3 months of environmental studies, endless conference calls. They're just dragging their broken body to the finish line. And right then, the buyer says, oh, hey, by the way, roof inspector found some wear and tear. We need a $50,000 credit at closing or we're walking.
And it perfectly targets the sunk cost fallacy.
Because rationally, the seller should say, absolutely not, get out.
How so?
But they can't.
They mathematically can't. If they walk over 50 grand, they instantly vaporize the 100 grand they spent on legal. They have to relist the property, carry the mortgage for another 6 months.
Deal with the stigma of a blown deal.
Exactly. Losing 50,000 hurts, but starting over is fatal. So the buyer extracts that final hematoma, and in the moment, the patient, the buyer with the syndrome, thinks they are an absolute genius.
They see the IRR bump up by 0.5% and feel like a god.
But that brings us to segment two of Pree's analysis, the post-operative reality, because the spreadsheets are just too polite to mention the post-op risks.
Yes. Spreadsheets don't have a line item for human resentment.
They really don't. The CRE market thinks winning this zero-sum game is the cure, but it so often just kills the patient entirely.
Let's look at the scar tissue. Because commercial real estate is a global market for capital, but locally, it operates like a tiny little ecosystem, a small town.
Word travels fast.
Exactly. Over-aggression causes what Pree calls broker avoidance syndrome. If you butcher a seller at the closing table, if you abuse the 1031 timeline and execute these brutal nibbles, brokers just start bringing you deals.
Nobody wants to subject their client to your operating table. And even on the current deal, you run into what Pree calls post-op sabotage.
Deal fragility.
Right. Think about the handover of a massive retail center. It's a living ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You have to transfer tenant ledgers, vendor contracts, figure out the building's quirks.
It takes a lot of goodwill from the seller.
But if you push the seller into a corner and humiliated them, they become hostile. They spontaneously develop selective amnesia.
Oh, did I forget to mention the HVAC on the fourth floor violently shakes every time it rains, and the anchor tenant is threatening to leave. Oops, my bad.
They do it out of pure spite. And the buyer thought they were a genius for getting a $50,000 roof credit. But because they destroyed the relationship, the withheld knowledge ends up costing them $200,000 in year one.
So the extraction was a total illusion. Which makes me wonder, What does this all mean for their eyesight?
Their eyesight.
Yeah, Pri has this concept in the chart, vision impairment.
Yes, value destruction through tunnel vision.
Right. By focusing so pathologically on the bannies, on winning the tiny little zero-sum tactical fights, the big picture long-term asset potential completely slips away from them.
They miss the chance to negotiate favorable seller financing, or they alienate the property management team they actually needed to keep.
They destroy the fundamental value of the investment just to get a temporary ego-driven high. It's madness.
It really is. The experts in this industry have just completely lost touch with reality. They mistake extraction for success.
So we have to turn the page to Pri's recommended treatment protocol. How do we save these fragile deals? Because obviously, whatever the market is doing right now is not working.
No, it's not. And the treatment requires a lot of heavy reverse psychology.
Right. You have to realize that the magic beans of infinite leverage just aren't real. You have to look at the actual brain of the deal, not just your inflated spreadsheet IRR.
Exactly. So Pri details this tactical pivot to ensure the patient actually survives the closing table. And it starts with baseline autonomy.
Okay, let's break down baseline autonomy, because this is your defense against all those shadow investigations we talked about earlier.
It's all about strict confidentiality of your BTNA, your best alternative to a negotiated agreement. Basically, your walkaway price.
Right, because if you leak your walkaway price, your leverage is gone.
Completely. In a market where everyone is doing silent due diligence, looking for your tax deadlines or your debt cliffs, you have to quarantine your true level of desperation. If the zero-sum predator knows your absolute floor, they will anchor you right to it.
So you have to stop the bleeding. And Pri says you do that through controlled disclosure. You only share the information that reinforces your initial anchor. You don't brag about your aggressive funding timeline.
Right, you keep the oxygen in the room.
Yeah.
But the most critical intervention, like the actual cure to this syndrome, is Pri's concept of the collaborative graft.
The collaborative graft. Knowing when to stop cutting.
Precisely. Pri acknowledges that zero-sum tactics, you know, setting a firm anchor, defending against a nibble, they are essential tools. But a surgical tool is incredibly dangerous in the hands of a fanatic.
Right. If you just keep hacking away at the seller, eventually there's no deal left. The patient just dies on the table.
The collaborative graft is about emotional intelligence. It's knowing the exact precise moment when the zero-sum battle has reached its peak. When you've extracted the maximum reasonable value, but, and this is key, before permanent human resentment sets in.
Wow.
And at that exact second, the successful investor drops the scalpel. They pivot to a collaborative approach to actually push the deal across the finish line.
Because winning the negotiation is utterly useless if the deal dies, or if the asset is crippled during the handover.
Exactly. Pri's bottom line is that in the high-velocity market of 2026, the most successful investors aren't the most aggressive fighters. They aren't the ones gasping and flinching at every counteroffer.
They're the ones who know when to put the scalpel down, shake hands, and just sign the papers. Well, I'm closing Pri's diagnostic file for the night.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But, you know, elevated cortisol levels and a total temporary loss of long-term perspective. It's just part of the daily exposure on this ward.
And we should remember, Priyanshu Adonathakar is an investment advisor. He's not a therapist.
Though he probably could charge like one.
Honestly, yeah. But right now, he really is the only reality-grounded professional left out there protecting his clients from these recurring market delusions.
It's brutal clinical honesty, and the market desperately needs it. So as your shift ends tonight, I want to leave you with a dark little thought to mull over. When you go into your next transaction, consult your pro forma, sure, but then consult your conscience.
Good advice.
Because if everyone in the 2026 CRE market is walking into the room utterly convinced that they are the brilliant surgeon holding the scalpel who is actually the patient strapped to the table,